Greetings, racing fans. This is handicapper Bob Bauer. What's up at the Downs? There was a lot of intense and furious racing action at the Downs last week, mostly from the Ultimate Six forced payout on Wednesday, Christmas Eve. We all had high hopes on Christmas Eve for the big payoff, but a majority of bettors who came to Tampa Bay Downs that day, including myself, trying to win the ultimate jackpot payout, saw their hopes evaporate in the fourth race, which was the first leg of the wager, when Noble Annie, the second longest shot in the 10-horse field at 34-1, defeated 11-5 favorite Minstrel Win by a nose in the 1 mile turf event. And it was a close finish, ladies and gentlemen. I was knocked out of the contest because I needed Minstrel Way, and it was a too close to call finish on the wire. When they hit the wire, announcer Jason Beam, who has a very, very good eye, called Minstrel Wind ahead and then said, "Oh, there's going to be a photo. Noble Annie is right there." And that is what happened. Noble Annie got up and won by the noble margin of half a nose at that, and took the first leg of the pick six. And I was knocked out, and a majority of other bettors were knocked out. And for me, the heartbreaking part of it was the other five races, my horses were right there. So I ended up with five winners in a second for absolutely no gain, and 14 lucky and smart bettors shared a $196,000 jackpot with a payout of $14,026 each. I wish I could say I was one of them, but I was not. But we'll try again another time. But for people who love big-time racing action with a chance of big payouts, play the pick fives and pick sixes at Tampa. They're very difficult to hit, but they do pay off. And speaking of pick fives, no one hit the pick five on Saturday, December 27th, and there is a carryover of $63,841 into Wednesday's program, and I'll be there for sure, and you should be too if you like to play. It's only a minimum 50-cent bet. Hard to hit, but if you hit it, you'll be glad you did. With the new year upon us, many things happen in the thoroughbred world on January 1st. One of the most important and not always known to every racing fan is all thoroughbreds celebrate their birthdays on January 1st, which makes it more easy and uniform for record-keeping purposes. But however, for handicapping, it can be a little perplexing, and I'll explain that. What happens is, right now, every two-year-old who is racing celebrates his birthday on January 1st. Now, just like little kids in grade school, in the elementary grades, like in kindergarten, two-year-olds are born all through the year, and the older ones who are born in January and February do have an edge over the later foals who are born in May or June, just like kids in kindergarten. And also like kids in kindergarten, two-year-old racehorses are a lot like kids in kindergarten or first grade. They don't really have a firm grasp of the whole process yet. Some of the precocious ones do. They take to it right away, and some of the other ones, it takes a little while for them to figure out what's going on. And then when all two-year-olds become three-year-olds, it's time to think about the Kentucky Derby in close proximity, because right now there's a two-year-old somewhere in the world who is going to win the Kentucky Derby as a three-year-old this May. So all the three-year-old prep races are coming up. And this is the time you have to realize the difference between three- and four-year-olds. Now, this year's four-year-olds were three-year-olds last year until New Year's Day. And this year's four-year-olds are three-year-olds right now, but they'll be four-year-olds after January 1st. It sounds perplexing, but it really isn't. But what a handicapper has to take into account is after the first of the year, in the beginning of the year, when three-year-olds run against older company, if they run against three-year-olds, what they call straight three-year-olds, a race for only three-year-olds, everything is on an even keel. But sometimes when three-year-olds, even though they might have higher speed figures and look better on the racing form, the four-year-olds have an advantage, especially in the early months of the year, the winter and spring of the year. As the fall comes along, the three- and four-year-olds seem to even out. And no one really seems to have a scientific reason why. I just know that from many years of playing the racehorses, three-year-olds do well in their three-year-old season, mostly against other three-year-olds. And sometimes when they go against older horses, they hit the wall. And then as horses get older, a four-year-old horse is like a mature, grown-up person, maybe in his mid-20s or something. As a three-year-old is like a teenage kid still improving and maturing by leaps and bounds. And a five-year-old horse is fully grown. And you have to take that into consideration when you see horses running against older horses, especially in the 3 and 4 year old ranks. It's not so prevalent against older horses. So for right now, keep an eye on 3 year olds after the first of the year when they return to the races and watch the company that they run against. If they run against straight 3 year olds, the handicapping chore isn't too tough. But if they run against 3 year olds and up, as it would say in the racing conditions, pay attention to the four-year-olds, even if they don't look that fast on paper, and the three-year-olds look better. The three-year-olds may be at a disadvantage early in the season. This leads to another time-trusted handicapping angle, that when a horse goes against better company, rather from age or from conditions, for example, if a three-year-old does run against a group of four-year-olds and up, or any horse who, let's say, is eligible for like a non-winner of one kind of race, if he races over his head and runs against non-winner of two, non-winners of three, or a three-year-old runs against three-year-olds and four-year-olds rather than just plain three-year-olds, when they exit that contest and go back against their regular company, they can be very tough. The same thing with like an athlete plays it in a very high-level league and then leaves that league and goes back to a farm team or something. He's liable to be a lot better player. And horses are like that too. In horse racing, what goes up must come down. So if a horse goes up over his head and doesn't do well, when he comes back to where he belongs, watch out for that horse. That can be a good bet. In jockey news, apprentice jockey Kleiner Mahias broke his maiden at Tampa Bay Downs Saturday in a $5,000 claiming race in a big way when he brought in long shot Ikegi in a 6 furlong contest at 46-1. And this was his first victory in America from 14 starts. And Mahia has certainly paid his dues. The story of Mahia gives us an idea of how dedicated and the big sacrifices that jockeys put up to participate in the racing game. Mejia rode four winners at La Ricanada in his native Venezuela 5 years ago. He then took off the last 3 years from race riding to polish his overall horsemanship skills in the United States. He worked on the backstretch of Monmouth Park and Churchill Downs, as well as Ocala Training Center and various Ocala area farms. Mejia set his sights on a day like today because he wanted to prove that he could belong against the quality jockeys at a track like Tampa Bay Downs. And after all of that, he got some mounts, and it's not easy to get mounts at Tampa Bay Downs. It's a very competitive jockey colony, and he rode a khaki very well. He rode that one in the previous race, and he put him on the lead, and he went for the first two calls on the lead, and then he tired. And this time, Mejia did the same thing. He got him out on the lead and got him to relax, and he wired the field at the big price. And hats off to Kleiner Mejia, and we wish him a long, successful career at Tampa Bay Downs. Speaking of jockeys, let's have a look at the jockey standings. Samuel Marin continues to dominate the jockey colony. He has 28 wins out of 122 starts for a 23% win average. Very impressive. Sonny Leone is in second place with 14 tallies. Sammy Camacho, with a dozen wins, is in third place. And it's interesting to note that the leading jockey, Sammy Marin, with his 28 wins out of 122 starts, is winning at a 23% rate. Sammy Camacho has 12 wins out of 48 starts for a 25% win rate. So we'll see how this plays out as the season goes on. But Sammy Camacho is making up a lot of ground in the jockeys race after missing the first 2 weeks. And he's been riding up a storm. And then we have Cipriano Gill in fourth place with 11 wins. So Sammy Marin is way out in front, but I don't think he's comfortable. I think he knows that Sammy Camacho is coming after him. We'll see what happens as the time goes on. In the conditioners contest, the trainer standings are a little bit more tightly packed. Juan Carlos Avila currently has the lead with 12 wins out of 33 starts for a 36% win rate. In second place, perennial strongman Gerald Bennett is in second place with 8 tallies from 45 starts for an 18% strike rate. Juan Arregada also has 8 wins from 29 starts, and he's winning at a 28% clip. Safi Joseph Jr. has 3 winners from only 7 starts, but he's winning at a 43% rate right now. And Mike Simone has 6 winners from 26 starters, winning at a 23% rate. So we've got some very powerful barns at work at Tampa Bay Downs right now, and the trainers' standings will fluctuate from now right till the end of the season. Many times at Tampa Bay Downs, 2 or 3 trainers are tied going into the final days of the racing season, and gives fans a lot of things to talk about. Racing fans are reminded, Tampa Bay Downs will be racing 4 days a week starting the first of the year, every Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday for the rest of the season till the first weekend in May. There are 2 weeks in February where there will be 5-day-a-week racing. The second and third week of February, racing will take place Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
And after those 2 weeks in February, it goes back to the four-day schedule for the rest of the season. Still lots of racing to go. We just finished the 17th day of our 90-day season, so the best is still yet to come. This is handicapper Bob Bauer wishing you good luck at the races always.